All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to PolitiFest, second session of the day, maybe first for some of you. Happy to have you here. I'm Bella Ross, social media producer for Voice of San Diego. If you're not familiar with us, we're a nonprofit news organization. We are here to hold public officials accountable and give you all information to advocate for your communities and engage in the democratic process. So we're a nonprofit. We need members to fund things like this and jobs like mine. So if you support us, you can do that. And you are supporting us by being here today. That's great. I'd like to take a minute to recognize our sponsors who helped make this event possible. A special thanks to the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of San Diego for being our partner now for the seventh year. Big thanks to the Sequan Band of the Kumeyaay Nation, the United Domestic Workers Union, AARP, the San Diego Foundation, Business for Good, Hitsky Development, the San Diego Municipal Employees Association, the Asian Business Association, Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest, Atlantis Group, San Diego Art Matters, and the Southern California Rental Housing Association. We'd also like to recognize KPBS and iNewsSource. We're all partnering this event today as part of that partnership. And throughout the election season and beyond that, you guys are gonna be seeing content that's gonna be coming out from all of us, part of this initiative called Public Matters. We are teaming up to hopefully help you guys be better informed, engaged with the democratic process. So when you start seeing those collaborative posts on Instagram, that is what that's about. And so throughout this, myself and the volunteers are gonna be going around and picking up note cards. I'll do a couple rounds. They're back there, the volunteers. I'll do a couple rounds. At any point, raise your hand if you want a card or want to give me a note card, and we'll figure it out. And then we'll have about 15 minutes at the end to answer all those questions. So now, introducing Tigas Lane, North County reporter for Voice of San Diego. She's going to take it from here.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Tigas Lane. Like Bella said, I'm the North County reporter for Voice of San Diego. I'm joined by San Diego's current District 3 City Council member, Stephen Whitburn. Let's give him a hand. And attorney and homeless advocate, Colleen Cusack. Let's give him a hand. Thank you both for joining us today. All right, so behind me is a map of San Diego's District 3. It covers downtown, North Park, Hillcrest, and several neighborhoods around Balboa Park. The district's most pressing issue is homelessness. There are thousands of unsheltered homeless people in San Diego, and most of them are concentrated in District 3. There's also a lack of affordable housing facing District 3 and the city of San Diego as a whole. The supply of affordable housing in San Diego is not close to meeting the demand of low-income and very low-income renters. There's also San Diego's structural budget deficit, issues of public safety, and the need for better stormwater infrastructure and more facing District 3. I actually live in District 3. I live in North Park, so I'm excited to get into all of these issues today. So let's start with homelessness. Hold on, let me fix this. Candidate Whitburn, you spearheaded San Diego's unsafe camping ordinance, which prohibits camping on public property when shelter is available. And then in certain areas like some parks and within two blocks of schools, camping is prohibited regardless of shelter availability. What is your response to critics of the ordinance who say the policy criminalizes people for being homeless, and that criminalization may end up disproportionately impacting people of color?
So the ordinance absolutely does not criminalize homelessness. I think everybody here in this room, everybody at the city, and certainly I understand the very difficult circumstances that people can experience that can cause them to fall into homelessness. And the city has been doing everything that it possibly can to help people get back on their feet. I have spearheaded a couple of initiatives that have enabled the city to make progress. I championed our new safe sleeping sites, which provide a safer and healthier place for people to go away from homes, away from businesses. We've had more than 1,000 people take advantage of that, come off the streets and go to those places that have security and bathrooms and connections to services. And the unsafe camping ordinance, what it does is it says, if we have shelter beds available for you, if we have a safe sleeping site available for you, if we have better options, then you can't choose to live in a tent on the sidewalk. I think that's common sense. I think that's reasonable. And most San Diegans agree with that. So we are going to continue to encourage people to take advantage of the many services that we are offering them. And the unsafe camping ordinance not only has resulted in more people leaving the streets, it has led to a 60% decline in the number of encampments downtown, and a 9.5% decline in the number of encampments citywide. This is better for people experiencing homelessness, it's dangerous on the streets, and it's certainly better for our neighborhoods as well.
Thank you. I actually have a follow-up question before we get to candidate Cusack. So the Downtown Housing Partnership released a new plan recently to address homelessness, and they're calling for a 24/7 no tent policy. Is that something you would support, and how would that policy interact with the existing camping ban?
The existing campaign says that if we have a shelter bed, if we have a safe sleeping site, if we have a home, a permanent housing unit available for you, then you cannot choose to sleep in an encampment on the sidewalk. And I think that we want people to take advantage of that. I think we do need to encourage people to take care of that. The Downtown Partnership has really advocated for downtown residents and downtown businesses, because one of the biggest challenges that we have faced downtown is encampments. We have had meeting planners come from out of state to downtown to look at holding a meeting here, and they decided against having their meeting in San Diego because of the encampments. I'm not okay with that. When I came into office, there were literally people, fortunately not a lot, but there were people moving out of downtown, businesses leaving downtown because they didn't feel safe because of the encampments. The status quo was not okay. We had to do something. We've done the right thing. It's safer and healthier for the people experiencing homelessness. It's better for our neighborhoods.
Would you support a 24/7 no tent policy if it did come before the council?
Well, I think that that is in effect what we have right now. At the moment, if we have a safer and healthier place for you to go, then you are not allowed to have a tent on the sidewalk. We typically don't enforce it at night. But if we have a safer and healthier place for people to go, I think they need to take advantage of it.
Okay, thank you. Colleen Cusack, you've been critical of the camping ban since it took effect. Can you explain why?
So hi, my background is in law. I've been a trial attorney for 3 decades. And I'm also an educator. I've educated college level criminal justice classes for 18 years, a lot of police in my classes. And then starting in 2001, I became a K-12 substitute teacher. So when I'm not in court, I drop a class to substitute. And I'm really enjoying that. But my background here is a humanitarian approach. I'm very, I'm into education, science, the evidence, best studies, and every single study out there, and there are lots of them, say that when we criminalize folks, when we punish them for acts that are incumbent upon because of their status as homeless, then we entrench chronic homelessness, we make homelessness longer, worse, more traumatic, we are not getting us anywhere closer to solutions. So let's not mince any words. When we are talking about encampments, we're talking about groups of homeless people. Breaking up groups of homeless people doesn't reduce homelessness. Every month for the past 29 months, More people have become homeless for the very first time than have been housed. That's the reality. And if we break up encampments, that just means we have more individual homeless people scattered throughout our communities. Now, there's the gaslighting that you're told that, oh, this ordinance is only going to be enforced if we have enough shelter beds. Well, the reality is we don't have any shelter beds except between the hours of 8 a.m. and noon, because 8 a.m. is when about 25 or so open up. And if you're eligible for those fill up very quickly by noon or so. So that would mean we wouldn't be doing any enforcing outside those hours, since those are the only hours enforcement is possible, shelter beds would practically be available. There are the have-nots, the can-nots, and the will-nots. People who have no shelter, who want shelter, 80% of people who ask for shelter in the city of San Diego are turned down, 80%. Cannots, people that even if every single bed was open today, they will not be allowed in. And then the will-nots, people for various reasons who won't enter the shelter system right now. We are not even servicing those who want shelter and can't get it. It makes no sense to have police officers chasing around, breaking up encampments in one of our 13 council districts and moving people into a tent from that one council district into another council district and calling it a success, end of day. We're not any closer to solving the problem. And it frustrates me as a resident of San Diego. I've lived here for 26 years. We need to get closer to solutions. Since this ordinance has been enacted, since my opponent has taken office, chronic homelessness has doubled. Chronic homelessness is the population that's hardest to house, and it's very predictable that it's doubled. Ending the criminalization of homelessness would free up funds. Right now we get asked if we are engaging in criminalization when we apply for competitive HUD funding. Federal government doesn't want to give cities money when those cities are wasting it and contributing to increasing homelessness. So it would be cheaper in the long run to end criminalization, much more effective. All of the shelter beds have been filled since this ordinance started and remain filled. When the police approach somebody, they have absolutely no idea whether there's a shelter bed for that person. They arrest first or threaten arrest first, ask questions later. They're not the intake that decides whether or not that person's eligible. And so there's a fundamental lack of understanding about how enforcement is working on the ground as opposed to what it's designed to accomplish.
You wanted to respond?
Sure, I'd love to. A few points. First of all, we have not lost any funds as a result of our approach to homelessness. In fact, we receive quite a bit of federal and state funding. Second of all, our ordinance is much less restrictive than what the U.S. Supreme Court has allowed and what other cities such as Grants Pass, Oregon currently do. We are focused on tent structures, not individuals, tent structures. And when there is a shelter bed or a safe sleeping site available. And in fact, because we have the law, we have had to do relatively little enforcement. People experiencing homelessness, by and large, have been willing to abide by the law. But most importantly, I want you to think about the consequence of my opponent's approach. If my opponent had her way and overturned the ordinance, then you would see all those encampments back on the streets downtown, all those encampments back on the streets throughout District 3. A year ago in May, there were 2,104 encampments on the streets downtown. In the last year and a half, as a result of my ordinance in the safe sleeping sites, we have gotten that number down to 857. That is a 60% drop. That is progress. That's 857 too many. We've got more work to do, but we're moving in the right direction. If you want to go backwards and put those 1,000 encampments back on the street, then Colleen Cusack is the candidate for you.
Did you want to respond?
Absolutely. Council members, disingenuous at best and lying at worst. He knows that I don't want to put people back on the street because he's heard me say this over and over again at multiple events. I want people to have safe, sane options. Right now, they don't have safe and sane options. Every single building that's declared a shelter in the city of San Diego, the health, safety, and habitability code ceased to exist in that building because of a declaration that this council signed. So if these buildings are among the most dangerous buildings, I want to make these buildings safe so that people want to be in them and don't fear them. The tent camp has rat infestations, moldy wooden platforms that form the floor to a tent that doesn't have a floor because it's an ice fishing tent. People are being moved from one unsafe place to a safe place. They're being moved from one unsafe place to another unsafe place. And the second unsafe place, the unsafety is set in place systematically by the city. So I think it's our job, if we're putting tax money into these options, and we should be, and we need to have these options while people wait for housing to become available, that we make these options safe. And that we hurry up the process so people aren't waiting like 10 years on average in these options for housing to become available. And we use other options in addition so that we are speeding up the process and we aren't allowing people to remain. Do not think that I want people to remain on the street. In fact, I hosted a webinar. I would be applying a human rights-based approach using directives that are in place that help people across the globe protect residents from the exploitation of their communities, private equity, and free up housing options for people that live there instead of investors.
That was a lovely world salad, but you have publicly said that you would overturn the ban on encampments. What do you think the consequence would be if we overturned the ban on encampments and allowed those encampments back onto the sidewalk?
We aren't allowing anything. The ban doesn't do anything effectively because we don't have available shelter beds. So effectively right now, since we have no shelter beds, police shouldn't be approaching anybody to see if they need housing. There's a wait list at the tent camp. And like I said, 80% of folks that seek these beds are turned away. So all we would be doing is what you promised to do 4 years ago, making social workers the front line of this problem and not police officers. Taking that $28 million we're paying to 73.15 police officers who are assigned to nothing else but to chase homeless people around. Yes, they are complying. Every time the police ask them to move, they move. And that's what we're doing. It's just whack-a-mole. We're just moving people from one place to another place, keeping them constantly moving. That's not a solution. And that's not sustainable long-term either. Now, the tent structures that are out there, they want to expand tent structures. We need to make sure that those tent structures are safe, not just simply hiding people behind somewhere where we can't see what's taking place. And so the repeal of the ordinance just means that police officers would be free to enforce the short-term vacation rental ordinance instead. They would be free to respond to 911 calls. Right now, none of those 73.15 officers will respond to a 911 call. They are 9 to 5, 6 to 3, Monday through Friday. So we need solutions, but this ordinance is not providing us a solution. It's entrenching chronic homelessness. It is counterproductive, futile, expensive, and cruel.
The city's response to 911 calls actually is better than its goal for a response to 911 calls. The city is very effective in responding to emergencies, so that's simply false. Secondly, you have publicly stated that you are running with a specific intent of overturning the ban on encampments. There is no question whatsoever that that would result in more encampments on the street. You would be specifically reversing the ban that has gotten encampments off the street. So to suggest anything otherwise is nonsense. Secondly, one of the reasons why the safe sleeping sites and the shelter beds are full is because we have gotten people off the streets as a result of the unsafe camping ordinance. That's why our shelter beds are full. That's why our safe sleeping sites are full, because people are taking advantage of the opportunity to get off the streets and into a safer and healthier place. And if we continue to add more safe sleeping sites, if we continue to add more shelter beds, we'll get more people off the streets because they will be complying with the law. Your suggestion that there's something wrong with safe sleeping sites is absurd. Obviously, a place where people can go that has security, that has showers, that has bathrooms, that has laundry, that has meals, that has connections to services, that is, of course, better than living in a tent on the street where 600 people died on the streets last year. We are making so much progress that it is so important that we don't go backwards.
Thank you. I want to keep this conversation moving. So, Candidate Whitburn, some have argued that the camping ban doesn't address, you know, lack of shelter. The shelters are full, and then at the beginning of next year, we'll see a reduction in about 700 shelter beds. So what are your plans for creating more shelter in San Diego if you're elected for a second term?
Well, we're going to be taking an important step on that this coming week. We are going to be considering a short-term shelter action plan. That'll be Tuesday afternoon. I support that plan. It prioritizes several different things. Number one, we will be expanding the safe sleeping sites that more than 1,200 people have taken advantage of already. That's 1,200 people who have come off the street and taken advantage of them. And we have a waiting list of 300 people who want to get into those safe sleeping sites. So the second that we expand those safe sleeping sites, you're gonna see hundreds of people come off the streets and take advantage of those safe sleeping sites. So that's number one. And immediately after we do that, we're actually gonna fund that program. That'll be Tuesday afternoon. The second thing that we're looking at is the use of vacant motel rooms that we have in various places that we can get at a reasonably good cost. Those will be valuable for people who are particularly vulnerable, families with children and other constituents. Thirdly, we have a request for information that is out. We are asking property owners around the city to let us know if they have a property that they think would be a good candidate for the city leasing it as a shelter. We want to make sure we know all the properties that would be eligible and a good candidate for that. And fourth, we're looking at expanding our diversion program. That is another thing that I support. It has been shown that were it not for $300 a month, so many people would be able to stay in their apartments. It is so much more cost effective for us to provide a $300 subsidy to help somebody stay in their home than it is to spend thousands of dollars to try to get them into a home after they've already ended up into homelessness. So that is a four-pronged plan. We're going to be considering it Tuesday afternoon. If you support it, please come support it. I'm going to be supporting it. It will help more people get off the streets, and we'll be taking action on it right after that.
Thank you. Candidate Cusack, what are your plans for creating more shelter if elected?
So we have close to 6,000 home rentals in San Diego that have been taken away from the local residents, the option of renting there or possibly purchasing the home, and are reserved for vacationers, reserved as short-term vacation rentals on Airbnb. That's so 5,800 in the city, excluding Mission Beach, and 1,522 in our district alone. So these units, these units should not be held in reserve for out-of-towners when we have a housing emergency crisis. Now, the plan put forth by my opponent to for request for information, why 4 years into his term, 3.5 years later, is this request being put out? Why wasn't this done 3.5 years ago? These shelter beds are coming offline. It's not a surprise. They've known for years that this is going to be what's happening. And yet they wait until the last minute and act like it's an emergency. So this the city is not being serious about these options. We could open up, we could master lease the underutilized Airbnbs, the short-term vacation rentals, at fair market value for those folks who are denied shelter bed. These are the cannots, people that will never be able to get a shelter bed, and this includes caretaker couples, it includes disabled persons, it includes the LGBTQ community over age 24. There's no affirming beds for them. So if, and families, there are only 200 shelter beds in the city of San Diego for families, and there are 11,636 students age K to 12 that experienced homelessness in 1 year alone. So opening up the short-term vacation rentals for possible master lease or enforcing the ordinance to reduce these units would help put these individuals in our communities. We would see that the homeless problem is not simply it's people with mental health issues, people with substance abuse issues, but there's a lot of folks that need our help and support that need these housing options to be made available to them. And I want to expand the tent options, and as well as make the safe, the indoor options more safe so people will want to go to them. But the outdoor options, the indoor options, they have to be safe. We can't just put the word safe in front of the camp and call it a day. They have to, in fact, be safe. Thank you.
So let me address this sort of notion that short-term vacation rentals are part of the solution, and also the question about our work to identify shelter sites. The fact of the matter is that we passed restrictions on short-term vacation rentals a couple of years ago, and I voted in favor of that. It was a compromise proposal. I supported it. It has improved the situation. But my opponent is fixated on this magical notion that if we somehow eliminate short-term vacation rentals, then abracadabra, it's going to solve our housing crisis. It's going to solve our homelessness crisis. That is not a serious position. We are not going to convert million-dollar homes into affordable housing for people experiencing homelessness. That's not the way that's going to happen. We need to build more affordable housing. That's how we're going to get people into affordable housing and back on their feet. As far as the search for shelter sites, we have been adding hundreds of shelter beds, and we've been doing that during the entire term. We have added hundreds of shelter beds, but because, in part of the work that I've been doing, more people are wanting to come off the streets, and we need to have the shelter for them. We have a line of people every morning at the Homeless Navigation Center on Imperial Avenue who want a shelter bed. And I believe that we have an obligation to provide it for them. And so that is why we are pulling out all the stops to make sure that we have shelter and we can get people into a safer and healthier place.
Thank you, Candidate Cusack. Did you want to respond?
Yes, please. So the restrictions that were passed, you were led to believe that only one owner per unit. That's not the case. Owners can own multiple units and just designate different hosts for those units, so that's not changed. I've never said that there's a single solution to homelessness. Homelessness is caused by it's a death by a thousand cuts. There are a lot of responses that we can provide that will mitigate ease the homelessness crisis. I went around and went to the short-term vacation rentals in our district, and I'm still going to these, and they are not, the average price of our homes are $1 million. We have nice little one bedrooms that are underutilized, cottages, clusters of eight of them. These are not, would, there's different levels of our homelessness crisis. Homelessness isn't just the person on the street corner that doesn't have a bed. It's also the four people that are living in a, or the eight people that are living in a house meant for two or four. It's also the workers that are moving commuting out of our county because they can't find affordable houses here. And that would free up more houses for purchase and for utilization here locally. And there's additional solutions to that problem as well. And in terms of adding hundreds of beds, nothing could be further from the truth. The net balance, this administration has added 59 beds total. 600 beds are slated to come offline. And so everything that this administration has done has been very reactive and not proactive. The proaction should have started when the oath was sworn and at the beginning of the term and not at the end when they're campaigning again.
Thank you. Candidate Whitburn, I want to ask you about the affordable housing shortage that we're seeing in the city of San Diego. Numbers from the city's most recent Housing Element Progress Report show that the city is not on track to meet its state mandated goals for affordable housing. So if reelected, what are your plans to encourage and secure development of more low-income housing?
The city has not been on track to meet its mandated goals of affordable housing for many years. It either have many cities in California, which is one of the reasons why I have been so focused on the affordable housing crisis, not only in District 3, but citywide. It is one of, if not the biggest challenge facing so many of the people who live in our city, particularly working folks, as well as many of our seniors, who, in the case of working folks, have simply been unable to afford a home and are struggling to be able to live here, in many cases, in the city in which they grew up. And we have many seniors who retired on what they considered to be an adequate income when they retired, but with rents skyrocketing, their income has not kept up with the cost of rent, and today, people who are retired are the fastest growing number of people falling into homelessness. It's tragic, and we can't let that continue. So what have I done about it? A number of things. Number one, I voted in favor of every single housing proposal that has come before the city council. They have been approved. Every single housing proposal in District 3 has been approved. And that includes income-restricted affordable housing. What do I mean about income-restricted affordable housing? That is housing where the rent is specifically tied to the household's income. So it is affordable. We have added citywide more housing and more affordable housing in the last 4 years than we have in decades. And that has been led by the addition of housing and income-restricted affordable housing in District 3. And we are seeing the results of that. Prior to the last couple of years, we were seeing double-digit increases in rent every year. People were seeing their rents skyrocket year over year over year. And that was what was forcing people and seniors out of their homes. As a result of the increased supply, what we are seeing now, and there have been a couple of stories in the media about this, is rents have leveled off. In some cases are going up a little bit, in some cases are actually going down a little bit, but overall, year over year, rents have leveled off. And that is specifically attributed to the increase in supply. Supply and demand. It is a result of the increase of supply, a result of the supply that this city council has created. And so if we are able to continue to increase the supply, if we're able to keep rents level, and as people increase their incomes through annual raises, that delta between what they're paying in rent and the increase in income, that puts more money in people's pockets, and that's what we need to do.
Thank you. Candidate Cusack, why do you think the city is behind on meeting its affordable housing goals, and what would you do differently?
Well, we're kind of handing to developers the opportunity to develop San Diego without requiring anything enough back from them. And their incentive is profit. And so we're getting a lot of high deals when what we need is sneakers. And so we ask for more sneakers, and they say, okay, we'll put out a whole bunch more high heels first, and then, you know, every now and then we'll throw you a sneaker. So 156 ADUs in North Park, only 8 of those were affordable. San Diego is one of the most unaffordable cities in the world. The August 2024, San Diego home prices were up 4.7% compared to last year, and with a median price of $974,000, median. We have a 26% office vacancy. That's not going to improve. We should be converting those offices to SROs, single room occupancy units. We lost a whole bunch of those back in 2010 to 2016 with the promise that those would be replaced. They never have been. We have roughly 3,500 unsheltered folks on the street right now. And if we had those 10,000 SROs, we would have places for all of them to go. We